So, what is it about this season? Every year, again and again, expecting the baby Jesus. Right? Some of you who've seen Talladega Nights know what I'm talking about here, right? Where Ricky Bobby's favorite Jesus is not the grown-up Jesus that he's not so fond of, but the little 8-pound, 6-ounce, delightful baby that you can hold in your lap. But that's already happened. That came and gone. And as a matter of fact, that Jesus, the one that we commemorate with the Advent wreaths and the season hymns and all this kind of, all of those things are no longer supposed to be our focus. We can do those things and we can sing those things, but never if it distracts us from what we are supposed to be paying attention to now, which is not the first coming, but second coming. Jesus is near the end of his ministry when he makes this teaching in Mark chapter 13. And what he's doing in Mark chapter 13 is he is trying to help people understand, look, times are about to get bad. You're about to undergo terrible tribulation. There's going to be all kinds of suffering. And eventually, you will not be able to go to the temple and see one of these huge blocks sitting on top of each other. You're all going to be knocked down. And when that happens, and you believe in me, you better get ready because you're about to suffer. Now, he says this in the 30s, the 30 AD area. And today, even though that stuff happened, not too long after these words would have been spoken, in the 60s and 70 ADs back in Jerusalem, we're still looking for this tribulation to happen to us. You know why I'm telling you this? Because everything you see on TV, everything you hear these televangelists tell you, all of the prophecy stuff, all of the, this is going to happen to us, and pre-tribulation rapture, blah, 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 blah. All of this comes from a fundamental misreading of what we see here today. I don't know how many times people have come to me and said, Jesus is coming again, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and it says in the Bible, you know, wars and rumors of wars, and nation rise against nation, and people against people, and there will be earthquakes, and the Bible says all of that. And you know what Jesus says about those things in Mark chapter 13? He says, none of those things are the sign of the end. He says, that's all the beginning of the birth pains. And yet we've taken that. We have forgotten specifically what Jesus said about these things, and we have made them into this end times museum that we visit and leave wringing our hands because we're worried about what's going to happen. This is the worst possible thing to happen to the church, because this sideshow has attracted huge swaths of our energy and our time and our proclamation. And instead of proclaiming Jesus is Lord, we've been saying Jesus is coming back and he ain't happy. So when Advent comes, as it has, every year, the task that we have is to go back and ask ourselves again, have we given up on preaching the gospel, or have we begun to hook into something that has no place on our lips? We become absolutely fixated on Daniel chapter 9, Daniel 13, Isaiah, this and that and the other, all of these various verses that talk about God will come again. And Jesus says, yes, I am. I'm coming again, and I don't know, and you don't know, and the angels in heaven don't know, and anybody who tells you they do know is a liar. And what do? We continue to fixate on Revelation
and Ezekiel and all of these books.
Instead of doing what Jesus obviously told us to do, which is to keep awake, to watch, to be aware. Living in the end times, if Jesus were going to come tomorrow, okay, we wouldn't know anything about it, right? Because that's specifically what he says. You won't know the hour of the day. In fact, he says, what does he say? He says, when people are coming to you and they are saying, oh, it's me, or oh, I can tell you exactly what's going to happen, he says, that's when you know they're lying. So all the books that you've seen over the past, 150 years. If you don't have anything else to do this afternoon, I know you don't, especially Jeff and Christy, they're kind of sitting around right now, having moved into a brand new house. Look up on Wikipedia the second coming and just see how many times Jesus has been forecasted to come. He's supposed to come one time in the 1880s. And so, they gathered on this plain in New York State, little hill, and they were told, when Jesus comes at midnight, we will shout and all be taken up. And so they gathered out there, and they gathered on that hill, and they shouted, and Jesus didn't come. And the leader of the group said, doggone it, it was the photographers. The flashes scared Jesus off. It's a true story. So they gathered again the next night, and they did it again, and there were no flash photography allowed, and yeah. So what happened? Everybody learned their lesson, right? No. Then the Jehovah's Witnesses got started up, and they believed that 1917 was going to be the date that Jesus would come and take away all the believers. And 1917 came, and it passed. And still, they held on to that. And so how many times then since then? I think I told all of you, my first year in ordained ministry was 1988. And I went to this church, and I was opening the mail one day, and I got this book. Thin book, but it was a book. And it said, 88 Reasons the Lord Will Come in 1988. And it was this guy who had, you know, sat down with his calculator and the calendars and his interpretation of the Bible, and he had determined that 1988 was the time Jesus was going to come back. October the 12th, 1988. On October the 13th, 1988, he began working on a book.
Anyone want to guess what it's going to be called?
Where did I go wrong? I think it was 89 Reasons the Lord is Going to Come in 1989. And reason 89 was, he didn't come in 1988, and I'm telling you the truth. And how many more times? Harold Camping, you remember this guy a few years ago? He comes out and he says, oh, look at this. I've worked it out. We know absolutely he's going to come in October of, 2013 or something like that. And people sold everything they had. This is how bad this gets. This is right here, staring us in the face. And yet, somebody says Jesus is coming again, and people sell everything they had. They bought billboards and said the world is coming to an end on such and so a date. And it didn't happen. And instead of saying he was wrong the first time, he said, guess I messed up. It's going to be later on. And when it didn't happen again, what did he do? He finally said, I've made a mistake. But not until after people's entire lives had been ruined. Do not be deceived. This last year, John Hagee, anyone familiar with that name? Seen him on TV? Oh my goodness, don't look for him. Here's a guy who wrote a book, and see, by the way, they do get royalties on these books. I just thought I'd tell you that. They write a book. This one was Four Blood Moons. I don't know if any of you heard about the Four Blood Moon thing. But again, Jesus is supposed to come. Four Blood Moons, it's one of the big signs of the Bible. We know he's going to come. And What's so strange to me is that the Bible does say very clearly this one thing, that when someone makes a prophecy and the prophecy doesn't come true and they claim themselves to be a prophet, does anyone know what's supposed to happen to them at that point? They're supposed to be taken out and stoned with real rocks. But we've stopped. We don't do that literal point. We don't go there. Friends, what I'm trying to say is that when we take upon ourselves this discipline of following Jesus, and we want to come and celebrate His first advent among us, and we want to make His life our theme, if we stop watching for Him to come again, if we stop believing that He's going to be coming back to us to make a difference in the way that we live and in the things that we do, then we have forgotten what the gospel is about. It's not about this rule, that Bible verse. You know, we can quote those things all that we want. The issue is living a life of readiness. It's living a life of readiness. And the first step in readiness is actually believing He's going to come again. That's what helps us look at ourselves and live in a different way. You know, maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy." Right? How about this one? "Jesus is coming, be busy." "Jesus is coming, do the work you've been assigned to do." This passage that we read today from 1 Corinthians tells us you must believe you have every spiritual gift that you need to live for Christ forever. That as long as you are alive, God has gifted you with everything you need to live for Him. The question is have we stopped watching? May today be the day that around these tables and with this wonderful fellowship, that we will together make the commitment that we will watch and we will pray and we will serve because of the great gift given us in Christ Jesus, both for this day and forever. May God add His blessings.